This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to verse 18 of chapter 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." When Jesus makes the statement, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth," immediately I realize that that much power is beyond my ability to conceive. All of the power in heaven and in earth. Now, I have always been excited and interested in power. From the time of souping up cars, having hot rods, the power that you can generate in a combustion engine has always fascinated me. That screeching of the tires, you know, when you put down the, it's something that just, you know, it's exciting to feel that thrust and those G-forces pushing you back against the seat. From, you know, the little kid and the ladyfinger firecrackers to the Black Tiger, then to the cherry bombs. And power, does something. There's something that happens to me when I watch a rocket being blasted into the sky, to hear the roar, to feel the ground shake, to see the fire coming out of the bottom and sort of spreading on the ground, and seeing that thing sort of shake there and then break loose of these with the exploding of the bolts, and that thing began to take off, and then as the power begins to really generate, begin to go in a straight line on out into space, and you see that thing accelerating to 25,000 miles an hour, and there's just something that thrills me. Power. And I think of the power that it takes to get these large objects orbiting into space, to get them beyond the gravitational pull and to get them out there and into their own orbits, and the tremendous power. But then I look up and I see the star Arcturus. It's about 36 light years away from the Earth. It's traveling through space at the rate of 70 miles a second, which equates to about 4,200 miles a minute, or 252,000 miles per hour. I wonder if God was just sort of joking with Job when he said, "How would you like to guide Arcturus through the heavens?" Get behind that thing, steering it at 252,000 miles an hour, you know. It's about 30 times larger than our sun. Now think of a mass that large, 30 times. See, the sun is 1,200,000 times larger than our Earth in volume. It's 865,000 miles in diameter. Actually, if you could carve out a hole in the center of Arcturus. You could put the sun in the middle of Arcturus and let the earth rotate around it. And you'd have a couple hundred, actually million miles to spare inside. It's 300 to 400 million miles. Well, no, that was Betelgeuse. 300 to 450 million miles in diameter. But again, these huge objects. How much thrust do you suppose it took to get them into orbit? How much thrust do you suppose it took to get Arcturus traveling at 252,000 miles an hour? Power. It must have taken a lot of power. And as the psalmist said, when I consider the heaven, the work of thy fingers. How much power did it take to get Arcturus into orbit? Little extra pressure, get it going that fast, you know. The work of thy fingers. And then Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That would include the power that created and brought the universe into existence. Paul, in writing to the Colossians concerning Jesus, said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, or could cohere, or are held together. Now, declaring of Jesus, he was actually the one who created all things. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. For by him were all things created. And by him, and all things, he said, are held together. Now, this is an interesting statement. We know that our universe is made up of atoms that are formed into molecules. And we realize that an atom is made up of positive charges known as protons that are clustered together in the nucleus. And these protons are surrounded by these electrons that are spinning around, orbiting the outside of the protons. And we know that the nucleus is made up of protons and neutrons there in the nucleus of the atom. Now, we also know through Coulomb's law of electricity that like poles repel. In other words, if you take the positive poles of magnets and try to hold together the positive poles of a magnet, you'll find that they're pushing out against each other. Opposite poles attract. So the whole principle of the magnet is the positive poles attracting the negative poles, because they attract. But positive poles repel, so that in trying to put together the two positive poles of a magnet, you'll feel the force pushing out, because that is, according to Coulomb's law of electricity, the repelling of the like poles. Now, if positive poles, if like poles repel, then it is an interesting mystery of nature how that the nucleus of an atom is made up of positive poles clustered together. The mystery is what holds them together. They should be repelling each other. It isn't natural for them to be clustered because like poles repel. In fact, there is such a repelling force of positive charges that if you had 1 gram, which is 1/154 of a pound, of positive, all positive charges at the South Pole and 1 gram at the North Pole, at that distance, the repelling force of those grams of positive charges would be so great that it would take 26 tons to hold them on the poles. Now, we have learned how to disrupt an atom. We have learned that by sending slow-moving neutrons into the nucleus of an atom, you can upset the balance of these positive charges. And when you do, the positive charges then follow their natural bent and they repel each other with tremendous force, and that is what we call the atom bomb. What the atom bomb is just releasing the positive charges within the atom so that they follow their natural bent to repel each other, and thus you have all of these positive charges that have been disrupted repelling each other, and these tremendous blasts of just releasing the power of the atom by upsetting the molecular balance. Now, the power that is released in an atomic blast is just allowing atoms or the protons to follow their natural tendency to repel each other, which means that the power to hold the atoms together has to be greater than the power that is released when they are blown apart. Who holds the universe together? What kind of power holds the universe together? Paul tells us that he is before all things, and by him all things are held together. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Staggering. But he wasn't just referring to power in a physical sense. It is also power in a spiritual sense. In our Lord's Prayer, we repeat the words, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And we're talking about power in a spiritual sense. Jesus spoke of the power that he had to forgive sins. We read that he gave his disciples power against unclean spirits. He has authority and power over all of the created beings, whether they be in heaven or in earth. They are all subject unto him. All power, he said, is given to me in heaven and in earth. Now, what would you do if you had that kind of power? What would you... Well, that's probably why you don't have it. We could mess things up in a quick hurry, couldn't we? I find that it's awfully hard to control power. The greatest strength, I believe, is manifested in power that is held in check. When you have the power to do something and you don't do it, that to me, that kind of restraint, that takes great, great power. It's easy to release power when you have it. It takes greater strength to hold power in check. When Jesus was arrested in the garden and Peter drew his sword and began to swing away, Jesus said, "Peter, put away your sword. Don't you realize that I have the power to call for 12 legions of angels to deliver me at this time?" The power, yes, but it was held in check. Great strength manifested when power is held in check. For they say that power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. When Pilate said to Jesus, "Do you not realize that I have the power to release you or the power to put you to death?" Jesus said, "You have no power at all against me, except that which is given to you by my Father." You think you have power. You really don't. It's only that which has been allotted or allowed you to control. Now, having said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth," and to let them just sort of meditate on what that might entail, he then said to them, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." This is known as the Great Commission. It is the accepted duty of the church. This is the motivation behind all of our mission programs. We've been commissioned by Jesus to take the message of his salvation and his love to all men. For you see, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he wants the world to know that love. But how can they know unless they have heard? How can they believe in Jesus unless they have heard about him? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? And how can someone tell them unless they have been sent to tell them? And so the commission of the church and the duty or responsibility of the church is to take this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, to people who have not heard, that at least they might know, and then they can make a choice of whether or not they want to believe. But at least they need that kind of a choice. They need to hear so they can accept or reject the message of God's love. Paul the Apostle, having received the message of Jesus Christ, felt an obligation. And he declared that he was a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So he said, "As much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." power of God to salvation. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a debtor. I'm ready to come and share the gospel with you. I feel a responsibility, Paul said. And all of us who have received the message of Jesus Christ are debtors. We have received in order that we might share. We might take the message to the world. But imagine what those disciples must have felt when Jesus said that. Go ye into all the world. Go and teach all nations. Lord, I've never been beyond the borders of Israel. I've only heard of Rome and of Asia and India. Us? You're commissioning us? Fishermen from Galilee? We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Let's get serious, Lord. You can't mean it. The task and the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples must have seemed rather preposterous to them. I can imagine that they were wondering, just how in the world can we do that? Now, there seems to be something not quite right here. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, now you go. If he has all the power, it seems to me, he ought to go. Because I'm weak. So, what does he mean? All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Now you go into all the world. Take this gospel. Teach all nations. But then we read in verse 20, and lo, I am with you always. There it is. You go, and I'll be with you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. So here's the tie. All power is given unto me. You go, and I will be with you. Thus, he will be with us to give us the power and the ability to carry out this commission. I think of the sheer folly of trying to fulfill the commission without the power. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But the only way the church can fulfill the commission is through the power that is in Jesus Christ and is imparted to us as we are seeking to fulfill that commission of taking the gospel into all the world. Power is available. It is available to us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he spoke about his prayer for them. And he was praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and enlightenment, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. If you only knew the hope, you've been called to be a child of God. If you only knew the hope, the things God has in store for you. And if you only knew how much God treasures you. the value that God places on you, his inheritance in the saints. But then Paul went on to say, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Paul was praying that God will give you a spiritual revelation. You might know the power that is available to you who believe in Jesus Christ. The power that is available to you to carry his message to this lost world. I believe that it is one of the primary goals of Satan to keep you from knowing the power that God has available to us as his church. That Satan tries to keep us in darkness and with a sense of futility and weakness and being overwhelmed by the greatness of the task that the church has been asked to fulfill. Paul's prayer is that you might know, that the Spirit of God might just reveal to you how much power is available to you in carrying out the commands of Jesus. The book of Acts is the story of the power that was given by Jesus and manifested through the disciples as they carried out his commission and they took the gospel to the world. There in Jerusalem, when Peter and John were going into the temple, the man was lame, and Peter said, look upon us, and he expected to receive some money. And Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand to your feet and walk. This man who was about 40 years old, never walked in his life. Peter lifted him to his feet. Immediately he began to leap and jump and praise God. Going through the temple, walking, leaping, praising the Lord, coming back out to Solomon's porch, grabbing hold of Peter, jumping up and down for joy. The people, thousands of them assembled, were looking at Peter as though, who is this man? Where did he come from? And Peter said, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look on us as though we through our own power or righteousness have done this good deed? Look, it's not our power. And he let them know it was through the power of Jesus Christ that this man is standing here. All power, Jesus said, is given to me. Now you go. And Peter went, and the power of God was with him. And as you go, the power of God will be with you. And don't try and go without that power. R.A. Torrey, founder of the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, declared that one day he decided that he would never enter the pulpit again until he had experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he sort of shut himself into his room and just waiting upon God, seeking the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his life, which he did receive, as he testifies about it in his book, and the glorious empowering of the Spirit. We need it. We cannot successfully bear witness of Jesus Christ to the world without it. And in the book of Acts, we see demonstrated exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said, all power is given unto me. Now you go, and I will be with you. And we read of how Paul went on out to the ends of the world and how the Holy Spirit was working with him in power, signs and wonders being wrought. We read concerning Stephen that he was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. And in Acts 4, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. All power, Jesus said, is mine, given to me in heaven and earth. Now you go, and I'll be with you. Dare we go forth in the name of Jesus to a lost and dying world to to let them know that God loves them? We must go. That's the commission. Dare we go without the power? We're foolish if we do. But thank God we have the promise that He'll be with us and His power is available. Oh, that you only knew the exceeding greatness of the power that God has made available to you. You don't have to be bound by the desires of your flesh. You don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to do those things that are just making you miserable and keeping your life in bondage. All of the power in the universe is available for you today through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sufficient power for any and every emergency or exigency of life that we might face. It's yours through Him. Shall we pray? Father, give to us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge that we might be enlightened by your spirit, that we might know, Lord, the exceeding greatness of your power to us who have come to believe in Jesus Christ. Lord, we know our own inadequacies. We know, Lord, how weak we are and inept. Lord, the task seems so great, beyond, Lord, our capacities or abilities. And so we come today thanking you, Lord, that you've promised to be with us to the ends of the world. May we go in your name, empowered by your Holy Spirit, and may we carry your gospel into our world, the world around us, those needy lives, Lord, that are around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? When God called Moses to go to Pharaoh to demand the release of the people, Moses said, "Lord, I don't have the power." And God's answer was, "I will be with you." We've been commissioned, and so often I think we're prone to say, "But Lord, I just don't have the power. I don't have the ability." But the answer for our weakness is always His presence with us. "I will be with you." And He is sufficient. As Paul the Apostle, looking at the ministry and all the pressures of the ministry, the daily pressures, he said, "Who is sufficient for these things?" But then he answers his own question. He said, "Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Christ. All sufficient, for all power is His, but He's made it available to you. All of the power that you need to be what God wants you to be, all of the power you need to do what God wants you to do is there. It's available. All power is yours through Him to carry out the commission." You see, God never asks you to do anything but what He doesn't empower you to do it if you are willing. May God help us to take this power and through this power, take His love and His message to our lost and dying world.